Gentlemen, let's broaden our minds. Lawrence?
Gum on my seat. Gum.
When the world and I were young, just yesterday.
Did you drink some of the seawater?
Life was such a simple game a child could play.
Ooh, I fucked up.
It was easy then to tell right from wrong. Easy then to tell weak from strong. When a man should stand.
They were not good.
Or just go along. But today there is no day or night. Today there is no dark or light.
He's like, what's your alibi?
Save the children! Kill me! Kill me and my plans!
Well, if that's really how you feel. Hey, and welcome back to the Brotherhood of Batman. I'm Aaron. I'm the oldest out of us. I produce this mess. Thanks for tuning back in, and it feels like forever.
I'm Jake. I'm the middle brother. I go second.
Hi, I'm Ben, your sunshine into Gotham, and it's been many, many moons since the sun has risen back on Gotham. I am Benjamin, your sunshine, did I just say that? Into Gotham, and the baby brother. This is, in fact, the Brotherhood of Batman.
And
this
you are Sunshine, the baby brother.
Sunshine into Gotham. This is still the Brotherhood of Batman, a podcast where three brothers have returned from actual lives to come back and give you more content. I am going third because I wanted to make a big re-grand entrance. There might have been one or two episodes that I missed. I'm sure you missed nothing if you didn't listen to them. We are here to talk about Catwoman, but I would rather talk about all the things I've done over the last 2 months, and I'm sure you two have done one or two things as well.
So what's been going on in your geeky little lives?
Stop talking about comic books or
what do you think you're doing, nerd?
Stop spending.
Get those nerds!
Nerd!
Nerd!
Geek. Geek.
I'm the Batman of geeks, bitch.
I saw Blue Beetle.
Oh, yeah. Blue Beetle.
It's a DC superhero movie. I actually really, really liked it.
Is that the DC version of
Spider-Man?
Something like that?
sort of. So it is like an alien bug thing gets attached to this guy's spine and gives him powers. But what I liked about the movie was that it is very character and world building first, and the superhero part is like secondary.
So you enjoyed it?
I loved it.
So it's going to be a flop. Great. Good to know.
probably. Yeah, 100%. No, it got good reviews, and people are saying nice things about it, but no one went to see it. But a lot of the reason no one went to see it is because there is one white person in the entire movie, and they're the villain. So that is a big reason that people are not enjoying the movie. But people who saw the movie really liked the movie.
So which iteration of Blue Beetle is this about?
Is
it the light blue?
The high May character.
Sky blue.
So Blue Beetle came out in like 1949, but this is the iteration. It's High May Rays that was created in 2006. So he's been around almost 20 years. I was first introduced to him because he joined a Teen Titans group pretty quickly into being created. But yeah, it's fun. I think your wife Sarah will really enjoy it, Jake. I think you'll be like, that was kind of fun. He's nerdy, so they like sneak in like Final Fantasy references and different things, which is obviously why I like the movie. But.
And in the main character is the guy from Cobra Kai, the TV show.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah. You guys watched that. So I think your family would like it. It's not like light and fluffy, but it's not super dark and depressing. Like I think Kelly would like it. I think your boys would enjoy it.
Well, I remember
it was better than it had any right to be.
Oh, that's fair. That's fair.
Remember in the trailer that they do make a reference to like the older version of Blue Beetle, and so it is kind of world building for DC and like ongoing DC stuff. I think
So he's in college in this version, or he just graduated college, and so you see him wearing a Gotham University hoodie.
Nice.
So there's like references, and there's like a a LexCorp building that I caught a second glance of.
Okay.
So it's very like they reference The Flash, they reference Batman, they reference Superman, okay. But no one makes appearances other than Blue Beetle.
Is it supposed to be part of the DC Extended Universe now, is it going to be in continuity?
I think this is supposed to be James Gunn's first, like, world-building movie.
Okay.
Whereas, like, a lot of stuff with The Flash and all the other Batmans and stuff is still up in the air. This is supposed to be the jump-off point of his new DC universe.
There was a a special right before the movie played. That was the director talking, and he was already talking about sequels. So I would believe that this is meant to continue.
Oh, did you guys see an early screening again, or?
No, we go to Alamo Drafthouse, which is a chain around the country of the United States that we really like.
You gave away our location.
I know, right? But what I love about Alamo Drafthouse, I think I've been telling both of you to go check it out if you get a chance. A half hour before the show, there are special features specifically to the movie. So when I went and saw Barbie, it was all vintage Barbie commercials. For Blue Beetle, it was a little montage of the Cobra Kai kid in all these commercials when he was a child. So it's like what he's been doing before this. So it was little cute
kinda
commercials
fun.
Of him.
Kind of fun, immersive experience.
Yeah. And then a 10-minute interview with the director right before where he was explaining a bit about the character and stuff. So for people who don't have any idea who the hell Blue Beetle is, it gets you ready for the movie. So if you ever go to Alamo Drafthouse, get there a half hour early and watch the pre-show stuff.
Okay. I need to get down there. You've mentioned it a few times, and I know you guys have your monthly pass or whatever for that. But I'll have to make it down there hopefully sometime with Kelly. I did take Dad to a movie, which was his first movie in 5 or 6 years at the theater.
What?
I took him to Oppenheimer.
Okay. Yeah.
He really enjoyed it. It was really good.
I thought you guys saw Barbie.
Did we see that? No, we saw Oppenheimer. I'm pretty sure. Yeah. It's a really good watch. It's intense, 3 hours. Cillian Murphy, the acting was exceptional. Robert Downey Jr. was really good. I know you and Josh went and saw it as well, right?
I liked it. I'm a big Cillian Murphy fan.
Are not a 3 hour long movie fan, though.
No. You're both welcome to judge me, but I have zero shame. I fully just got up and left and took breaks because I can't sit there that long. So I just went. I was like, I'll go pee. I'll take my phone off airplane mode. I'll text some people. I'll walk around the hallway. I had to take breaks.
For real?
Yeah. I can't sit for 3 hours. I'm too antsy. And I liked it. I loved my experience, but my experience included 2 10-minute breaks.
You know what they need to have put in the theaters is a hamster ball that you can just run around in. Clear, those giant knocker balls, but hamster ball style that Ben can just kind of roll around in. He can go
Silent treadmills in the last row.
Yeah, silent treadmills that you can just wear your Barbie get up.
Or just a break. Just have a break.
An intermission. A 10-minute intermission. I'd be fine with that. Pee, get more popcorn, you know.
It was really good, though. I enjoyed it a lot for the type of movie I normally wouldn't watch. Mm-hmm. I thought it was really, really well done.
Christopher Nolan makes incredible movies. And, you know, it's well done. I want to see it again. It's dialogue heavy. And I really wish, I know somebody said that you can find movie theaters that have subtitles. I really wish I had subtitles so I could kind of catch some of the things. So I'm looking forward to seeing it on streaming and actually being able to read some of the stuff I might have missed. Because there's some dialect, there's some other things where there's a lot of science stuff going on that I'm curious about and interested in. But.
Now, Aaron, if you want to see it again in theaters, Alamo is not paying me, but the Alamo Drafthouse pre-show for Oppenheimer there was a big thing about Christopher Nolan movies and all of the through lines of how he likes to reuse a lot of the same actors and how his movies are going to have this kind of thing or his storytelling, which I thought was really interesting because I've only seen Batman Begins and Memento. I haven't seen all of them. So it was kind of neat to have that as a feature if you go back to the theater to see it.
The big thing about Alamo Drafthouse is how there's popcorn.
They have multiple kinds of popcorn, and one of them is unlimited, and they will give you a to-go box, and it's $9 for all you can eat popcorn. It comes in a big It comes in a big metal bowl, and you can use
can
real
I take
butter.
The bowl with me.
I don't know about that. They might not refill.
The answer is yes. Just am I allowed? Is probably no.
Yes. do not go on my
Well, that's yeah, I might have to check it out. Probably won't see it again in the theater. It's pricey.
There's a bunch of stuff in the theater right now. It's actually one of the heights of movies that I'd like to go see. I've seen zero movies in the theater lately, but we've got Ninja Turtles, Oppenheimer, Barbie, Blue Beetle.
I've seen all of the things you've mentioned.
The boys saw Ninja Turtles. Have you seen that, Jake?
I have seen no movies in a theater for a while.
Wow.
My family is impossible to drag to the movie. So
I prefer seeing movies at the theater with my family because at home they don't shut up. I love them, but they don't shut up. And
yeah.
Kelly, you will agree with me. And we pause a movie like 400 times at home or whatever show it is, and it takes forever.
I will probably be at the theater quite a bit during September for the release of the new Paw Patrol movie, which...
Wow, I'm...
Because the whole family can go see that one, so...
That sounds great.
You and Sarah should... If you have to go see that movie twice, she should be with Luke in the theater, and then you can go watch whatever you want to watch, and then you guys can switch the next time.
That'd be nice.
That's a good plan, actually.
Yeah, Noah and I are going to try to go see The Last Voyage of the Demeter before it leaves theater, which is like a horror movie about the... In the novel Dracula, there's one chapter that documents how he left Transylvania and came to wherever he was going, London or whatever, and it's just one chapter of the book, but this is a whole movie built about the... It's basically like the idea of aliens, like a spaceship.
What
but
is this called?
The Last Voyage of the Demeter. Oops. It's got the guy from Game of Thrones.
I didn't even heard of it.
One of the guys from Game of Thrones. I don't know. It looks cool, but it's a monster movie, and it's not going to be in theaters for very long. So
that'd be fun.
All right.
I want to see that. And then we're going to read Bram Stoker's Dracula together and cover it for school. So
I have a really nice hardback annotated with illustrations if you're interested in borrowing.
Nice. I got copies for both of us to cover and then like a study guide. We're going to do it for school. So it'll be fun.
Nice.
Backtracking a little bit, Aaron, did your kids like the turtle movie?
Yeah.
They did. I think Connor really liked it. He's a big turtle fan. I think Toby enjoyed it. Their grandma took him. I think he loves the animation and just loves
so
the story.
Cool.
So I think he really enjoyed it. And I think Toby still is not so old and that it's not cool to like it. So I think he enjoyed it.
Nice. It's my second or third favorite turtle movie.
Behind Secret of the Ooze, right?
Secret of the Ooze is my favorite turtle movie. Secret of the Ooze is my favorite turtle movie. My second or third is that the cartoon one where they're that's like the multiverse thing where they meet the turtles from the 80s 90s cartoon.
I don't know that one.
It's called Turtles Forever.
Turtles Forever.
Look it up.
That one's good. Fantastic. But this was Jake, you will love this. It to me felt, maybe it's just because I'm an adult now, but it felt the most like they were actually teenagers.
I think they
it's all like
were
kid
teenagers.
Voices.
Yeah.
Voice actors, right?
Yeah. But like the writing and the references, I was like, these are teenagers and these are teenager wants and teenager problems more than just like we're ninjas. Like it was less ninja-y and more teenage. So you probably,
that's cool.
Maybe you won't like it. But
well, no, and I think that's a good moment of Turtles to capture and one that gets forgotten about because they're trying to always be nostalgic for the 40-something-year-olds like myself who were the original fans. But like so much of this pop culture that's drug over decades, it's not for us anymore. And it needs, you can put stuff in there for us, but it needs to be for the next generation. And finding the way to do that is when you get a successful relaunch.
Yeah, I could see Connor loving it because it's very now and it's very kid or teen friendly. But also, like, I enjoyed it because it was more like there's references because, like, we all grew up with the Turtles.
Right.
But you were more like into the comics and the like Raph being moody. And I'm very excited to hear your thoughts when you do watch it because Raph is different than Raph is normally. So that's all I'll say on that. But I took my husband who has never seen any Ninja Turtle thing, period.
That's just a shame.
That's crazy.
So now after the movie, I was like, so do you have a favorite Ninja Turtle now? He's like, oh, I guess I liked this one more than this one. So he can answer the question now.
Okay. Well, that's progress.
Yeah.
So
which one?
Yeah, that's the...
So it, I don't know if I want to say, because it will let you know a little bit about the movie more than my husband, because their turtles are slightly Leonardo and Michelangelo. Okay. I still loved Donnie in this, but I think all of them were good.
I always thought that Josh would be a Leo fan because he's just like, no, that's the way things are. That's you need to follow the pattern of the way things go. It needs to be this way. Yeah. Josh likes things in order, and he likes
very systematic, and
the rules laid out, and yeah, you know, yeah, he's a rules follower.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but
okay.
So no one's seen Barbie.
No.
I mean, I am not opposed to seeing Barbie. It's just we've had zero time to go anywhere.
That's fair.
So I mean, I've heard nothing but good about it.
So good.
I've heard it made a shit ton of money. It's the biggest grossing movie of the year, I think.
You two are definitely not the target audience, but I think you both appreciate it.
I wanted to see it way before the hype got huge. I thought it looked hilarious when the first trailers were coming out. The only thing I don't like jumping onto a hype train at all, but I'm very concerned that Hasbro and Mattel and the other toy companies are going to think that
it's good. I'm out.
Well, no, they're going to think that the success is because it's based on a toy, and they're going to try to do a lot more toy movies. And we've seen how horribly that is.
The success is because it's a movie for women by women.
Well, and it's coming out the same times as Turtles, right? So now you have another movie that's based on a toy franchise, more or less. And, like, we might be seeing a bunch of garbage stuff coming out pretty soon. So,
Yeah, the Hungry Hungry Hippos and Sorry crossovers not looking so great.
I'd watch that.
I'm sorry. Aaron.
I'd watch the hell out of Hungry Hungry Hippos.
If there was a Hungry Hungry Hippo horror movie, I'm down. I'm 100%
down. All right, how
can
we get that greenlit?
Well, just send it to The Rock and Kevin Hart, and they'll make the movie.
Kevin Hart and The Rock is two of the hippos. That'd be
not as the hippos.
I could see that.
Ooh, I want Nicole Byer to be the voice of one of the hippos. Ooh, I'm gonna gobble up all these people. Nom, 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 nom.
Oh fuck! No, let's erase this.
On her podcast, she talks about gobbling up dick. So I thought I would change it to gobbling up people.
Oh, great.
I have one more thing before we get into Catwoman. This is my triumphant return. So the reason for our podcast break, Aaron's starting school, Jake wanted to podcast, and we said, no, we're busy. And I'm
so lonely.
With my husband and a small handful of friends, for my birthday this year, we produced a television program that you cannot find. So sorry if you're listening to this. You can message me if you want to be on a future season.
What's the rating on IMDb? How many stars?
5. Out of what? 10? 10?
5 is not very good.
How many stars are available?
10.
Oh, then 10.
There's only been 3 votes, and 2.5 of them are Ben.
But the reason I'm bringing it up is, so it was like a reality TV show where I make my friends do silly things, and it was very fun and like a nice break from reality where people got to be creative and all that. But I did a podcast thing, and so it was really cool. My friends that don't do podcasts had to, in 10 minutes, come up with a podcast topic that they would want to record with me. And then they had to, on the spot, record a 5-minute podcast with me. And it was really neat for my brain to try to wrap around how to do that, because the three of us have a very like specific way of doing this podcast. And then obviously I've recorded a bunch of stuff with Sarah.
Right.
Nancy Drew, Tom Swift, and made appearances on random podcasts. And just the way different people's brains work on how to podcast and people who've never done it before is hilarious and fascinating. Because
we can see that when we've had guests on the show on like how people approach
it. That was the interesting thing to watch, because I was there helping Ben film this thing, and to watch it was a challenge, right? It's a reality TV show. So they had to pitch the show with no notes for Ben when it started. And he had to be able to figure out what the show was about, what his role was as a co-host, and be able to jump into...
This was what you were going to be helping with, but your child got sick, which is fine.
And to be able to jump in and co-host with them without knowing where he was coming from. So, like, our dynamic works here because of our history together and our goofiness.
And same with Sarah and I.
Yeah, random people, not random, but his other friends who he has never done shows with. And you've been a guest on podcasts before, so that was a little bit more natural for you.
I've been on, I did the math before doing that challenge, and I had been on, I think it's 7 or 8 different podcasts I've appeared on, which is kind of crazy on its own.
How many of those podcasts are related to shows you've gotten canceled?
Okay, first of all, fuck you all the way off.
And so, how many of those podcasts did you actually read the books for?
The point is, as you saw, I can banter with anyone. So it was about me bantering, and so they had to be able to banter with me. They had to pick something that I'd actually want to talk about. And so it was really fascinating. So one girl did like a sex podcast, which was hilarious, but also like she was talking about sex toys, and it's like, podcast is audio. Like, we weren't doing a visual for it.
Right.
So that was silly. And then one girl just talked about random shit. I was like, I have no idea what's happening. Like, I have no idea what's happening. And then other people talked about, like, creating art as an adult. I was like, okay, we can talk about that. And one person talked about, like, you know, queer history and, like, what is your exposure to queer art? And I was like, okay, we can talk about that. It was just fascinating trying to see their thought process.
Yeah.
And one person did, like, this really slow, soft voice. And I was like, you are barking up the wrong tree. I was like, that is not the energy I bring to anything. And so, I don't know. It made me appreciate, not to be hokey, but it made me appreciate you two and this. And that was the whole point of it, was to be like, how...
Jake, did you like have something you had to come up with to talk with?
No, so I've participated in Ben's crazy fucking birthday things before. And this year, after a long break, was asked if I would like to do it again, and I offered to help. So I was behind the scenes and judging for this...
So you two are both going to be the judges of that episode.
Got it. Okay.
So it's going to be Brotherhood of Batman was going to be the panel of judges judging how their half-assed 5-minute podcast.
Okay.
You did miss my Two-Face inspired outfit, though, that I would love to judge in. Yeah. It was pretty great. Yeah. But that I did want to ask you, because watching them and watching how they approach this challenge, besides the sex toy review and then the one that nobody really understood what was going on, the other ones were very serious topics. They're life stories or bringing into conversation some heavier topics, and that's definitely not what this show is. And not even the Nancy or the other shows you've done with Sarah, they've been very lighthearted. And so, Aaron, my thought of, like, if I was doing this challenge, I would have gone a different way than everybody else did, and mine would have just been silly as hell.
Oh, mine would have been just ridiculous.
What would you have done if you had 5 minutes to prep a show that Ben had for you and Ben to co-host together, and you have to get him with an intro and an outro, and what show would you do that you guys could immediately banter about?
It would be either... I've got two things. It would be either the... How can I phrase it? The first one would be either bad horror movies with Ben and Aaron.
Yeah.
Which would be, I think we could jump into that pretty easily because we watched a bunch. Or it would be prank calling infomercials.
Those are
perfect pancake!
Which we did back in the day. We would stay up and call the infomercials and try to get them to stay on as long as possible and just waste their time, and it was hella funny.
Those would have been great.
Those would have been perfect. And what's funny about that is you making that decision in the stressful environment of a reality TV show, like, what do I want to do? The perfect pancake joke, like, that got me immediately, but how much content is there for that? Whereas the horror movies could be an actual podcast that we would do for mini episodes, you know?
Well, yeah, I mean, but if we were going with a infomercial, then you could go into the route of taking a product, talking about it, both of us trying a product for a time, and then we going and doing reviews, and we could write them and rate them and turn it in from an infomercial to a at home with Ben and Aaron and try all the things.
I love that. I'm sold. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
So
you came up with that fast. The horror movie I knew you were going to say. The infomercial is hilarious.
The horror movie one was what I was thinking. I was like, that easily in a panic, like, okay, I can definitely do this and Ben can talk to me about it. And yeah, that's the way to do that challenge. So.
Or we could also Ben, pick up drunk siblings as a backseat confessional.
There's that too.
Yeah.
Ooh, good thing she doesn't listen to this. We're not talking about you, Sarah Bonafetti. All right. All right. So that's my very, very long week in geek.
Nice. Nice.
Aaron?
So Toby had his birthday. I had made for him a Jurassic Park Barbasol can that I bought the can. It's like a bank. And I printed, 3D printed the internal components so that it's like the dino DNA cryo storage container. I had to print it a couple times. It broke after he opened it, but it's, you know, cheap plastic, so it was easy to replace. But I put it as money holder, and he didn't realize what it was at first because it was his last present. And he's like, oh, thanks. And I was like, you don't get it. What? I'm disappointed, man. And then he realized that it was what it was. And so that was kind of cool. And for his his birthday kind of fell where we had stuff going on, so he wasn't able to really have friends come spend, you know, crash or whatever. So Kelly's like trying to, I had to go back to work the next morning, and so I went to bed early and Kelly took off. And so he's like, well, do you want to watch a movie? And he's like, no. And she's like, well, how about I watch a scary movie with you guys? And Kelly hates scary movies, refuses to have, she doesn't even like if we have them on in the house when she's around. So the boys were all jumping on it. So they made her watch Scream, the original Scream.
Oh, that's a good choice.
It's a good movie.
It's not too bad.
No, it's not too bad. There's some jumps. There's some fun stuff. So she sat between them on the couch. They had the lights down. They had their snacks. And one of them held her right arm. One held her left arm, so she wasn't able to cover her eyes. And I heard some screams coming from the living room. And then the screams were immediately followed by cackling laughter from the boys. And I think they truly enjoyed that. And they'll
traumatizing
probably
their mother.
Traumatizing their mother. And I think they, and then I think she crashed on the couch and just kind of did like a sleepover thing out there.
That's very cute.
So I think they will remember that. And yeah. I think they, you know, as much as she hated the actual movie, and I think the boys enjoyed that. So that was kind of fun.
That is very sweet of her. And that's also a good, like you said, that's a good choice for that. Cause it's not super gruesome, and it's almost like making fun of, like,
it's
more
kind
genre
of,
based.
Yeah,
it's very fourth wall breaking, you know, itself and not taking the horror genre seriously. And
had she seen it before?
Long time ago. Yeah, I left today to come out here, and the boys and I stopped Texas Chainsaw Massacre halfway through, so that's kind of where we're at.
Man, I remember when the Scream movies came out. I was a teen and was able to go to the theater and watch them. And yeah, that was, I remember that whole, because it hit me when I was like, I don't know, 15 or 16, getting into, like, you and I would watch the Friday the 13th in like a marathon, or the Halloweens. And so we were getting wrapped up in all the horror movie stuff again of our teenage years. That was a lot of fun.
Yeah, so the boys are interested in doing a haunted house again this year, if anybody's interested.
I'm down to clown.
All right.
Oh, yeah, I think you guys have to take one of our niece, right, who's never gone. I think that was committed to.
I think she's at the age where she would enjoy it.
I think Morgan can handle it.
I think she can handle it.
She'll do some cartwheels and kick the people. Did you come with us last year, Jake?
I did not go last year.
Okay, we need to do Darkness again. I think that was.
Do the Darkness again?
Yeah. Or we can
or
do it somewhere
we'll,
else.
Okay.
Yeah.
We'll see. It was fun. It's definitely fun.
It's quote-unquote the scariest one in St. Louis. And they change things every year.
Yeah.
So
yeah, I'd be up for
we'll
whatever.
See.
But, fun stuff.
Yeah. Jake, Noah, see if Morgan wants to go.
Yeah, you're
feel
is.
Like Ryan.
You guys
so
are
going to
have to convince
Ryan.
Noah. He's not on board. I'm also, like, I'm not a big horror movie fan in my adult life. And, you know, the jump scares. Like, I'm just getting too old. It hurts my neck.
Can't move it to begin with.
Yep. Fair. We haven't gone out and seen any movies or anything, but we have done a few at-home movies. One of our favorite special treats for the boys is order pizza and watch movies on the couch. And, you know, now that Bat Baby is getting to the point that he will let us put movies on and not argue about
not
it.
Not just Paw Patrol or truck commercials.
Right.
Yes, we have gotten to...
fire truck toy commercials.
We have gotten to watch some actual Disney and other animation. We recently watched the Lego Movie.
That's a good one.
And he's four and a half, and he has the dexterity and finger strength to do Lego sets himself.
Oh, nice.
And I was a pretty big fan of Lego when we were kids. It was 30 years ago, and they didn't have the sets and craziness that they do now.
No, I'm so jealous of all the ones they have now.
They're bonkers.
And Noah was a huge Lego fan because he hit it at like the start of the sequel Star Wars movies and the Avengers all coming out with all the big sets and Harry Potter. So Luke is surrounded by Lego now and has fallen deep into love with, we have a city built on his train table with some buildings and stuff. And so we have been playing and building with a lot of Lego. I find it, just like we've talked about miniatures and stuff on here, I find it really relaxing to put sets together.
Oh, I enjoy it, yeah.
Like to just zone out and hunt for the pieces and follow the instructions and everything. So
you've got such cool sets, like the types of pieces there are now versus when we were kids, not just the level of sets, but like just the types of actual pieces are so different. Like you couldn't make the things back in the day that you make now because those types of pieces didn't even exist.
Yeah. I mean, if you open a brand new box and a bag of Lego, like there's less than a handful of like the 2x2 bricks and everything is kind of a specialty piece. And
I mean, I don't know how it was for you guys growing up at home, probably because I was older, but we did not have much Lego. I did not have much at all when I was a kid.
Because it was expensive.
It was expensive. It was. And the sets were like, you know, you baked the standard rectangular house with the 2x3s or whatever they were.
And here's a bricky duck.
We had some like knights and some pirates.
Yeah, knights and pirates. I had a bunch of the I remember the underwater stuff was a big theme I got really excited about.
You did, yeah.
We had probably combined, I think I ended up laying claim to all the Lego as we became young adults. And then, we never got rid of our Lego, which was impressive. Like I've incorporated that into the boys' collection and it's still all there. But, we had maybe like one of the holiday popcorn tin buckets full of Lego combined after all the years. I think that's about all we had, but boy, do my kids have a shit ton of Lego.
Mine too. They were big into it for a while, and we have a bunch at home, and which I'm like, that's stuff I'm never going to get rid of because of, like, you know, you can go on their site and download any manual if you know the name or the number. So, like, being able to, like, you know, I broke this piece or I don't have it, well, go down and let's find the manual, and you can, you know, do whatever.
The replayability is really high.
Oh, it's huge.
Well, and what's... Even though not to go into a whole Lego geekiness, but all the crazy pieces and everything that they've developed and changed with Lego and all the minifigure craziness that's gone on, the Lego that we had, or even before that, from the 70s and 80s, those pieces will connect to today's pieces
it's crazy.
Just as well as two brand new will. Now, they get sun washed and they get dirty and pieces get broken, but anything is still playable. And like you said, like, you should hang on to that because your grandkids down the line will be able to play with it and that kind of thing.
I can't remember. There was a
set. If you don't want it, though, I'll buy it.
No. There was a set, I think, that saved Lego at one point. Do you remember what it was? I can't remember. I know, like, they were not doing well, and then they came out with some kind of, like, theme set back in, like, the 90s or 80s or something. I don't remember.
So
if you don't know what I'm talking about, but...
Yeah, I do remember something about that. There was a Lego documentary that talked about it. I know the minifigure really, that when they started themed minifigures, that really changed everything for them.
Have you been out to the minifig shop?
Yes.
Where is that at?
In Kirkwood. It's run by, it's a local place. They sell complete sets, like box sets. They sell put together ones. You can sell your Legos. You can buy in bulk. And then they have like, 4 glass display cases that have minifigs priced individually from like all the Star Wars, Harry Potter guys you want, all the superhero, all the, you know, this set 37, all these pieces put together. Yeah. So if you're missing one, you can buy individual figures. It's a pretty cool store.
It
is. Like if you're looking for certain bricks or you want to custom build your own little mini, you can do that.
Yeah, I mean, we here in St. Louis have a Lego store in one of our malls, which is pretty fun if you've never been to one of those.
I know, that's what keeps coming up when I'm trying to find the store you're talking about.
But this is,
the
big
shop.
We actually have another one in St. Louis that's not quite as popular, I guess. The minifigure store has expanded like 3 times since opening.
Yeah,
and I can almost promise I will have a future birthday party because they do birthday parties there.
Yeah,
do they really?
At one point,
where you just like go and build stuff?
Yeah, and you just play in the store.
Oh, this looks awesome.
Yeah, it is pretty fun to go to. If you are a Lego fan, an adult Lego fan, or if you have kids, you better hide your wallet because it is hard to walk in there and not buy stuff.
Ooh. I mean, I think I've walked in and out and spent like $30 on two minifigs before. Like, Connor bought like a Minotaur.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, yeah. It's easy to do.
Oh, this looks cool. Huh. Yep. I just like making myself out of Legos.
Well, I have us. The three of us are up on a bookshelf behind us. Yeah. I put us together a long time ago. Yeah. Aaron's grumpy because he has from
Jake's ass. They put the baby legs on me. Fucker.
Now, in defense of
the same height as Luke.
You are the same height as Luke.
Oh, well.
In defense, they aren't the baby legs. They're the dwarf legs from the Lord of the Rings.
They don't even bend.
Well, nope. I guess that's better, maybe. I don't know.
It's not. All right. Should we talk about Catwoman?
I have no idea what we read. What did we read?
So we read a book about Catwoman. Maybe a couple books about Catwoman. I read these months ago, and I did not take notes because I'm better than that. And... in this Catwoman saga, she switched from one ongoing series to a new one. She has a different outfit. Her skin is slightly darker, and that's about all I know about this.
And we've got Slam Bradley back, right? Slam for a little bit.
Yeah. So these two stories fill in where she disappeared to after faking her death.
And that's Selena's big score in The Dark End of the Street.
Is that what you all covered without me?
Yeah. No, that's what we're covering now.
No, her faking her own death. Was
yes.
That?
Okay. Yeah. And then Slam looking for her.
Oh.
So this is her side of all those months of her being gone. Dark End of the Street is the first four issues of Catwoman Volume 3, her new ongoing series.
Oh.
And then Selena's Big Score is a story that they went in and filled in the gap.
Now, let's talk a little bit about publications. So the first ongoing Catwoman series, it ended at 90-something, right?
So the first one is, volume one is actually just that four-issue miniseries.
Sure. But the first, the one we were reading, the ongoing we were reading.
94.
94.
Yeah.
And then how long does this second one last?
I wrote it down here. Let me find where I wrote it down, though. I think 80...
Oh, wow.
It goes 83 issues.
So almost as long.
Almost as long, yeah.
Okay, that's cool. I find that stuff really interesting. I love the, like, behind the scenes of, like, why did the company do this? How are things selling? What's popular, and at this point, anything Batman, well, at this point, then, and today, if it has Batman on it, it'll sell. So, Catwoman is Batman adjacent, so I just find that interesting.
Absolutely. It lasted all the way to 2010, so it'd be a decade long.
Well, in 2010, they start, you know, that's like right before, like, Rebirth and...
New 52 and stuff, yeah. Mm. So
yeah,
yep.
2012, I think, was New 52.
Right. I think there was another volume that then gets
chopped off. Okay.
Yeah.
The New 52 is where I started to buy a few comics and trades again. That's where I started to pick back up after long absences in collecting. That's kind of where I had started.
That's a good place to start because they restart everything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's kind of where I was like, I don't remember where to go. And I was like, let me start here. And then that's before we'd even considered this, which was...
We're getting closer and closer to it. And we're...
Despite you adding more shit. Despite taking...
Hush is now 7 months
away. I'll drag this shit out as long as I can.
Hush, 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 hush. We're never getting there.
We have a lot to talk about later on in a future episode, but we are fast approaching our 5th anniversary of the show. And to think that it made it that long when we thought we'd only make it 12. I was thinking about that this morning, that we'd only thought we'd make it to like 12 issues. We are now on the cusp of covering Hush. We are in the 2000s.
We're close to 250 episodes.
Yeah, it's pretty wild.
So, yeah.
5 years... Honestly, it feels like it's been longer than that.
A lot has happened in 5 years. COVID and all that pandemic and everything, like recording virtually and over the phone is really, like, that seems like forever ago.
Yeah, and I've had two starts and stops of other podcasts during that time period.
Well, and I mean, it's surprisingly, like, this last break we just had, that was the longest break in 5 years we'd ever taken. So.
All jokes aside, I loved it. I think it is helpful because I was getting very Batman fatigued, and now I'm really excited to get back to it. especially just because we were all so busy. Now that I'm less busy, I'm like, okay, I can actually like dedicate.
I didn't give any crap to this Catwoman book.
But right, other right, than right, that, right. I'm like, I'm ready to read and talk about it and not feel like I'm being like shoved like, oh, one more thing I have to do.
Right.
So I'm excited and grateful for the break.
Well, let's recap these Catwoman real quick for Ben since he doesn't remember. So
I ain't recapping. I led this fast. I led this longer than he did.
You at least took notes.
So Selena has faked her death and she is in Morocco trying to...
She has maracas? Something. She's playing the maracas?
No. She's trying to do her Catwoman thing and steal some stuff and make some money. And she is at the end of what she had left and... after a failed heist, has to go back to Gotham to make some money. She has nothing left. Mm. She has only what she kept stashed in Gotham for emergencies. So she goes back to try to plot some big job that she can make some money on and get back on her feet.
They always land on their feet, Jake.
Meow.
Meow. Meow, 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 meow.
So we get some background to one of the people that trained her, a guy named Stark.
Yeah.
Who's a new character. Not Tony, no.
Mm,
definitely a love interest of hers and in her past. Somebody that she both cared for and learned from, but then in Selena Kyle style betrayed.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's got a kind of a rocky history between them. I liked that the heist is like a train job, right? Like it's right. An old west train job. Yeah, which is always a fun heist theme.
How did we feel about the art style here?
So this book, Selena's Big Score, is both written and drawn by Darwin Cook, who will be in charge of her new volume 3 story for quite some time.
Oh, he does both for the majority of it?
I don't know if he writes and draws, but he is involved in one side of it for a while.
That is such a skill to be able to do both.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I think it makes the book read entirely different when it's done by the same person. Like, there is a voice to the characters that I don't think you always get.
For better or worse, but we'll get to that next week.
Right, for better or worse. And I think in this one, whether or not this is your kind of art style, I think it's very well done because Darwin Cook has a craft to make his characters and his pacing of his story work with his art style. It's not cartoony. It's more simplified. It's more stylistic and it's not congested with a lot of line work. But it's very suggestive.
Goes a little bit with some of the Detective Comics stuff that we'd read a few episodes ago about that the bodyguard that Bruce Wayne had. Those stories, I felt, were more line simplistic and everything. So this kind of felt a little bit like that.
Well, that's surprising because
he
did some of that art.
Oh, so. There you go. Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't really remember the art very well. I do know when Sam or Slam shows up, it's got a noir kind of, it's like it's that rainy kind of detective-y feel and
yeah,
which I like that when it's coming from like that POV when he's talking and trying to figure things out. I kind of do like that kind of style. It's more gritty. It's different than.
Can I see the book?
I actually took a picture of one of the frames because I loved it so much. It's Slam trying to traverse between two buildings across a ladder in the rain, and it's framed from underneath, and I'm like, oh, this is so good.
Yeah. Some of that I really did enjoy, and I think it kind of puts you into that like L.A. Confidential kind of feel.
Yes, which I like the Slam Bradley character here with Catwoman for that.
I'm sure we'll see a lot more of him in the future, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Or no. No, he did.
No, Stark dies. Slam survives.
God, Aaron, did you even read it?
Are you sure?
Yes. She shoots Slam in the shoulder to stop him from chasing her.
I thought she killed him.
No, he's fine.
All right.
He's just...
And this is the content y'all tune in for.
Okay. Well, great. That's fine.
He won't be around for terribly long, but
okay, good.
No, I think this.
I miss her big himbo friend.
Himbo?
Yeah, her big himbo friend.
Oh, the guy that was like a bomb? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Do you miss him?
Yeah, he was great.
Yeah, I liked him. What was that guy's name?
Ken. I'm just kidding. Ken. I don't know. Ken. Go watch Barbie.
So they use this story as a jumping off point for her to kind of go back to some of her origin and to reinvent herself into the new series, right?
So, yes, and you were talking a bit, Jake, about this kind of being the beginning of more of an anti-hero.
Yes.
Catwoman.
I mean, very, she's like, the first four issues in The Dark End of the Street is her, like, being like, well, I'm not what I used to be. I made a lot of bad decisions. I hurt a lot of people. She doesn't want to be the villain Catwoman anymore, but she's like, I'm not really a hero. I'm not going to save people. But she finds that the lost and the broken and the forgotten of Gotham, you know, the people, what how she describes it as, the good people left to make hard or bad choices. Mm-hmm. Those are the people she can protect. The girls that are left out on the street to live life however they can. Holly Robinson returns, which is kind of big.
Yeah. We had her in, like, the first thing that we read, right?
Yeah. Yeah. She's been around since year one, so.
This is definitely the start, going with that, this is definitely the start of the more modern Catwoman that we know. Mm-hmm. This is not the overly sexualized 90s one that was just kind of all over the place. This is more how people still are doing Catwoman.
What do you think of her new suit?
I like it.
I like the goggles. I like the outfit. I think it's definitely it's deviation from the bright purple.
It looks more like fabric than painted on her body.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's like spandexy leather look with the. I like the big goggles. I think it looks more
motorcycle?
Utilitarian. Yeah, more useful. In the previous volume, anytime like she's running around and she like pulls out like a radio or something, or she has like handcuffs. I'm like, where was that? Because your suit was literally painted on
it. It was in her butt.
She had a pouch.
Right below the tail.
This looks like she could actually do some good, and it takes her
a marsupial.
A little bit more away from the superhero look.
Yes.
And more into the vigilante kind of look.
Street
no,
level,
I think it
if you
fits
will.
Her character more.
Yeah. I do too. And this is very close to what they ended up having her look like, both in like size and ethnicity, what they did in The Batman, right? Like she's smaller, more petite of a woman. Mm-hmm. She isn't, you know, like you said, overly sexualized as much.
And not necessarily white. This is the beginning of them playing with that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
So do you think they just kind of like add extra coloring in the shading and then they determine, oh, yeah, no, she's actually not white?
It's comic books, man. And I don't know how they make those decisions.
I don't know. I'm just.
But she looked like the cover of this. I'm like, oh, yeah, that could be Zoe Kravitz. But
yeah.
Then you're reading it. I'm like, maybe it's. Still a white person. It's very ambiguous. Yeah.
It should have never been Anne Hathaway. I love her. She is great in many of things, but she should not have been Catwoman, in my humble opinion.
Well, speaking of what should not have been in this story, so her first villain, quote unquote villain, that she has to come up to in her own series is this shape-shifting guy who was maybe an experiment by the government.
I wrote down, is this Clayface?
I wrote that multiple times. It should just fucking been Clayface.
I was like, why wasn't... Yeah, I was confused. So I was very much like, I don't know who this guy is.
Why not Max Schreck? But whatever.
She ends up chopping the guy's head off and put it in a freezer. It was kind of
She
strange.
Fridged someone?
Yes. As a head that was still alive. Yes, it was very strange.
Yeah, it was very odd. She also met up with Leslie. We had Dr. Tompkins a few times in here, so that was good.
So yeah. Batman, knowing that Selina Kyle has come back to Gotham, sends Selina to see Leslie and as some therapy and get some help.
Because well, he's an expert on who needs therapy.
I'm not going to listen to her, but you should.
Yeah, she'll do you a world of good. She's helped me.
When I think it's setting up for Leslie to kind of be a recurring character in the new Catwoman series, because it's the worser part of Gotham that they're going to show the, you know, not the big flashy part of the city, but the seedy, dirty part is where Catwoman's going to kind of try to watch over. And so Leslie has always had her hospital there to help those who don't have the means to help themselves. And so her as a secondary character in this, I like. I think she works well with Selina. You need somebody who knows the duality of the character and can be a voice of reason, but also maybe push back against your choice, right? Like, Batman has Alfred to call him on his shit. Like, Selina needs somebody as well if she's going to go down that route.
I what do you think about Selina calling on Oracle, getting help from Oracle at times?
Well, she is a sometimes member of Birds of Prey, so that made sense to me because she's worked with her before. I don't know the time frame of all of that. I feel like we would have read more Birds of Prey in this podcast. So has it not happened yet, Jake? Or
so no, the Birds of Prey are happening, but right now
you talk about Black and Harry. Well, so I know that there's like a mini series, but then there's like an ongoing that lasts for like 60, 70 issues. Has that one...
That is happening, but it's mostly just Oracle, Black Canary, with Huntress. A little bit of Huntress.
Okay.
Right now. Yeah.
I'm surprised you haven't had us reading that. I feel like that'd be relevant.
Well, it doesn't have any major arcs yet.
Okay. There's a good story that I enjoy the line.
Well, tell me. And cool. Yeah, we'll fit it in.
Anything else about this book?
Well, let's talk about what's Batman's involvement in it, right? Like, because this is a Batman show. So he's like, oh, so he goes and sees Catwoman. The moment she puts her new costume on and jumps into the city, he's there and, like, is, you know, talking
Stalker.
To her.
Surprise!
But there's definitely a, like, he's like, I don't know what you plan on doing. She's like, I don't know either. I don't know what my new mission is here in Gotham. I don't know what I'm going to be about anymore. And he's like, well, I'll be watching. But it's not in a threatening way anymore. It's not like I'm going to bring you down if I have to. It's like, I think she's changed for the better. And the romantic tension there doesn't seem as sexualized. It seems more caring and watchful than it has before.
Which will obviously be a continued thing.
Right. Yep. Yeah. But he's not in it that much, so.
No, he really
it
wasn't.
Was one of the better Batman books.
I mean, really, he should just be a side character, but whatever.
Yeah, well, we'll see.
But let me ask you something. What do you think of this? Say it's
all right. That was terrible. Right. Horrendous. I'm offended. I'm appalled. Right.
That was awesome. 'Cause it's all right.
Yes.
No! I would not recommend this book because I don't remember this book. I'm glad that we touched on it, and I'm excited for where she's going, especially with this podcast specifically, just because we started this whole podcast with the whole are they going to get married thing. So anytime we get updates on her and Bruce together, or just her progress in general, I think is important for us to look at.
Yeah, I would agree. And I think it gives some kind of her getting the new suit and changing and developing storyline and changing her character and kind of thinking about the way she wants to go and approach things, I think is a good shift for her and kind of leads us into hopefully what's next.
Yeah, I think this connected with the Trail of the Catwoman that we read and reviewed a long time ago as well. I think they all kind of they all fit really well together. And I think whereas we weren't reading a lot of the later part of Volume 2 of Catwoman, I'm more excited to read this version of Catwoman and her brought into the world less as a, less as one of the Rogues Gallery and more as one of the members of the Bat family and her participation with that. And this has gotten me excited for more Catwoman stuff for sure. I think Selina's big score is probably the skippable arc of all of them. It doesn't do a lot other than give you some more Selina. She's actually not even Catwoman during that part. So
Yeah.
For her character, it's good, but if you're just wanting to zip through maybe the trail to Catwoman and then dark end of the street is the way to go.
It's fair. Yeah.
So,
what's next, Jake?
Well, I think Aaron and I had teased that we were going to cover a Batman and Lobo story.
But y'all took too long, and I'm back, bitches.
We took too long because I had to recover from assisting Ben during his fucking birthday thing. So
and your wife had stuff going on, too.
Yeah. So we are going to cover Batman, Lobo, Deadly Serious. It is two little graphic novels. So we'll be doing both parts together next week.
Yeah.
I'm excited. Aaron, what did we learn?
It's that time again.
To do another one of our cute little skits?
No, it's time to learn the day's lesson. And to find out what it is, we turn to the Wheel of
Batman.
Wheel of
Batman.
Turn, turn, turn. Tell us the lesson that we should learn.
Well, Ben, hungry, hungry hippos. Time to feed your face. Nicole Byers is going to gobble the entire human race.
Oh, no. For the Brotherhood of Batman, I am Ben, your sunshine into Gotham and the baby brother.
I'm Aaron. I'm the oldest of us. I'll clean this up. Thanks for listening. Glad to be back.
And I'm Jake, the middle brother. Thank you guys for listening. We'll talk to you next week.
Bye.
Hopes have been his plans. This city's way.